Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
Like, let's say, an organ meat or something.
The podcast about...
The unknown.
It smells rich and vibrant, and it's an organ, so I would imagine that people would say it smells like organ meat.
You'll be able to smell it more as soon as it starts to steam after you dehydrate it as well. Yeah, very, very healthy.
I've only tried one, and that was of a woman named Gray, and that was the very first placenta that I ever encapsulated. And it tasted vibrant and amazing.
I feel it tastes very ancient. It tastes very wise.
My name is Steffa Lawson, and I am a birth and postpartum doula for the community of Bellingham, and I also encapsulate placentas.
Steffa greets me at the door of a house in Bellingham, Washington. She's wearing a light blue floral dress, and she dons a pair of latex gloves as we get inside the house and walk towards the dining room. A lit candle, driftwood, and a small Venus of Willendorf statuette comprise a makeshift altar on the dining room table. She passes a branch of burning sage around her body to cleanse herself. Then she comes over to me, moving the burning leaves around my legs, my camera bag behind the back of my head, and then in front of the recorder held in my outstretched hand. We're here today to prepare placenta from a recent childbirth. Placenta, which is also called afterbirth, is a large organ that is grown by mothers during their pregnancies. It is responsible for providing a growing fetus air and delivering it food, and as far as I know, it's the only disposable human organ. It exits the body soon after a baby is born, and generally speaking, hospitals will throw them away or incinerate them. But not this placenta.
And this is the placenta of Colby and Nicole and Veda. Mm-hmm. And Veda was born yesterday.
Steffa pulls out a Ziploc freezer bag. And inside that bag is another bag, and inside that bag there's a placenta, which is red and bloody and veiny and immediately made my stomach turn. As she pulls the placenta out of the bag, the plastic cutting board stains red and I become queasy. Steffa cuts off the umbilical cord and discards the thin, translucent membrane that covers the organ.
And these we cut off because they aren't needed for the medicine and they just stick to the pan, making a problem when you're trying to scrub it off. So it's just best to get rid of it.
The scent of sage is gone now,
and this is
replaced by a faint, meaty, metallic smell. My eyes are fixed on the organ on the table in front of me, where large veins cover one side and crimson nodules about the size of plums cover the other. She places the placenta in a vegetable steamer, along with peppers, a couple of lemon slices, and chunks of coarsely chopped ginger. Steffa brings some water to boil, and we leave it to steam for about 20 minutes. Eventually, this placenta will become pills that the mother can take throughout the next years of her life.
And so what placenta, in taking it internally, is able to provide is a slow, gentle balance of moving from having so many of these different hormones to not having them. And by taking these placenta pills, you're able to gradually come to more of like a homeostasis. So it's really, really great to take care of what people call postpartum depression. It's also good for transitioning. It's also amazing for milk production, helping milk supply stay up. Excellent for just any hormonal imbalance that can occur within a woman. So for example, if Nicole wants to keep them till she goes through menopause, she can, and they'll help her to balance in that time as well.
My name is Dan Beneshek. I'm an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. My interests include medical anthropology and nutritional anthropology and human evolution. Placentophagy is the consumption of the placenta or the afterbirth, typically by a mother. This is only among placental mammals, as you might imagine. There are over 4,000 land-dwelling placental mammals, and almost every single species is known to regularly engage in this practice of eating the afterbirth. And there's just a couple of exceptions to that mammalian rule. Camels, alpaca, llama, and humans, at least in terms of it being a widespread common practice, it appears to be either completely absent in the cross-cultural and historical record or exceedingly rare.
Dr. Beneshek looked at almost 200 cultures from around the world, and he found no evidence that any of these cultures had ever traditionally eaten their placentas.
The earliest accounts of placentophagy as an emerging practice back in the 70s was essentially either eating the organ raw or most commonly cooking it in with other food. I've heard of it blended into smoothies. I've heard about it being baked into baked goods. The processing in which it's put into capsule form, it's steamed.
After steaming for 20 minutes in boiling water, Steffa pulls the placenta out. It's shriveled up now significantly. She cuts it into small strips and then takes it downstairs to a food dehydrator, where she will leave it for a day before grinding it into powder and encapsulating that powder into pills for the mother to eat. As Steffa goes into the kitchen to clean up, she sets this little cup in front of me, and in that cup is a bit of brown liquid. It's the leftovers from the steaming process. She says, "Try some if you'd like," and I lift the cup up to my face, smelling first the ginger, then that rich metallic smell of cooked blood. Well, it's the smell of life, essentially. I'm surprised that my earlier sense of nausea is nowhere to be found, but still, I hesitate.
If you want to try.
It's up to you. I think I mentioned this to you earlier, is that I was debating what I would do if it came to this.
What would you do?
I don't know.
What if it's come to this?
I hear Steffa cleaning the vegetable steamer, the cutting board. I think about what she's told me about the mental and physical benefits of this medicine. Yet, I find these logical arguments in direct contradiction with this powerful, unwavering hesitation that is as strong now, if not stronger, than when I first walked through the door.
Are we sort of hardwired as human beings to find placenta repulsive? Are we naturally averse to it?
Dr. Beneshek studies this exact question in his research at UNLV.
One of the things that you have to do for experiments like this is you have to give comparison. So what we do is we find out what these things remind people of, and then we, like, let's say, an organ meat or something, and then we would make that comparison. So, for instance, on one side you would have something like cow liver, and on the other side you might have human placenta, without telling people what those things are, and you would say, rate the appeal of each of these things and compare it to one another. Find out if placenta is about the most disgusting thing that you can put in front of people or not. We'll see ultimately what our findings are, but I'm pretty confident that in general we're going to find that the appeal is not great.
It's considered very controversial to be ingesting humans, because we're humans and we don't think twice to eat other animals, but to eat ourselves is considered, as people call it, cannibalism. And holy hell, you know, we've all heard about the Donner Party.
The piece you heard today was originally recorded back in the summer of 2011. Steffa is still an amazing midwife and doula living and working in Bellingham, Washington. And Dr. Daniel Beneshek continues to study human strange aversion to placenta. He has some really interesting ideas and theories about placentophagy, so be sure to check out his work as well. I'll post some links to both Steffa and Dr. Beneshek over on our Facebook page, along with some images of the placenta that we cooked and prepared that day. all that and a couple of interesting links over at facebook.com/herebemonstersradio. This show today was produced with the help of KUGS, a great college radio station over in Bellingham, and the financial support and moral support of the SoundCloud Community Fellowship. Something actually really exciting happened this week. Our show, Here Be Monsters, is now live in the iTunes podcast directory. So if you're hip with the iTunes and into free podcasts, be sure to give us a listen over in the iTunes store. Just type in Here Be Monsters and look for the Technicolor HBM logo. Music today from Lucky Dragons, Swamp Dog, and The Black Spot. Next week, we're going to talk about magic, and not the rabbit in the hat kind, but the real kind, the kind that can heal you.
And I just channel the love and the life and the light of the universe and creation through my crown chakra and down out through my hands.
Thanks for listening.